to preach his word and to share the hope with him. And as we continue our series called Citizens of Joy, you know, that was some really joyful music instead of just clapping my fingers and just going to town there. But what I was thinking is that I've titled this part of Philippians called A Race Not to Win, but to Achieve. Which doesn't seem kind of like, hey, what do you mean, a race not to win, but to achieve?
But have you ever prepared for a race in your life or something that you have to do some challenging? Back in the day, I remember like Bible drills when you used to stand up, you know, call the thing they call draw your sword, where you draw your Bible up in the air and they would say Matthew 4:18, and you sit down and you got to find it, and then they say charge, and that means you put down your Bible, you start reading it, and all of a sudden you come up and you just start reading it. And then that was like something that some we achieve. And when we try to figure out while we're going through this, how fast we can go through the Bible, how fast can we, you know where all the books are. Like when you pull up in your Bible, you know, Isaiah's here. I know 2 Peter's back here in this one. And then that's what we did. We learned to achieve things. And in life sometimes, you know, we may not achieve perfectness, but yet we can achieve this race that we're going to read here later on. And how about a taming the title? Remember, we have tamed this title too, that when you start off with life, as believers in Jesus Christ, we put our faith when we gain the title of child of God. As Christians, we attain this title of God. And hopefully through these scriptures, you'll be able to see how we can achieve that title, how we can live for that title. And because like it is, it's a race. Paul mentioned race, and when he's mentioned race, it's not running who can win to be first, because Jesus was already first. Sorry, somebody's already won the race. That's a whole bit of the sermon. I could just sit down and be it. But as you think of citizens of joy, something I learned as younger is joy stands for Jesus, others, and you. And when you think about those and put those three things, when you think of joy, not putting yourself above others and all that. So last week, I know that Pastor Tim talked about we needed to make less of what we've done and more of what we've done. Less of what we've done and more of what Jesus has done. And so right now, let's open up our scriptures, and I'm going to read Philippians 3:12-16. Not that I have already attained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. That's a good way to think it. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. This is what the Holy Spirit will do. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. And there's the first part. Let's look at verse 12, and I will read it out loud. You can open your Bibles or look at Philippians 3:12. Do what God has done for you. Not have already attained this, and I am perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus had made me his own. We are a child of God. That's what we're going to do. Paul's talk here humbly makes a statement that he has not already obtained. And just think how big Paul was. You know, famous Paul was. We think a lot of famous pastors, preachers, or people in our lives, they haven't really attained it, because when we work through our sanctification in Christ, we are working that's our salvation out. We are not able to attain moral perfection that God has laid before us. Jesus has already demanded, has done that. This perfection was he did when he became man, became on earth. He was perfect. He made it perfect for all of us. But can we? Have you ever, like, who likes to listen to music? You ever have that favorite sound of music or that favorite color? You know, to us that's perfect, but to someone else is not perfect. That this is perfect, but something else is imperfect. Man is not perfect. Men is not perfect. None of us are perfect. That's why we have Christ Jesus. And I'm not killing this word, though, but none of us have tamed this in life. The flesh gets in the way of our achievement for our moral perfection we shall obtain as believers in Jesus Christ. That moral perfection of trying to live as a child of God, trying to live as Jesus walked on earth, trying to be that way. Of course, we can't go and perform miracles and anything like that, but our walk is very important. Is when other people see how we walk. Think of one who has just finished his education from school, college, trade school, or even someone that's finished seminary or whatever. I've never done that. Had special training in certain areas. Are they complete and made perfect in that which they obtained because they read everything, they've done everything? No, you got to go out and do it. You got to go out and work it. Just like, I read the Bible 15 times, okay? Let me see, where's your fruit at? You know, that's good that you read the Bible 15 times, but are you obtaining what the Scripture says in here? The forgiveness of our sins, we got to remember what we obtain from God is the forgiveness of our sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He did it all on the cross because you can't pay for something. You can't work for something that's already been paid for. The penalty of Christ has been paid for. Some verses we can look at is, if you want to jot some of these down, is Psalms 119. It says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy status." Another one is in Romans 7:19. For the good that I do, I do not, but the evil which I do not, that I do. Things that we wish to do. Have you ever gotten down like, I didn't really mean to do that? You're walking somewhere, you're doing real good, and all of a sudden something triggers you, and then next thing you know, you're falling in an old past thing, and it's like, you're in a fight for these morals. That's what I think he means by running that race, fighting a good fight. When Paul is saying is these standards that you're trying for. The standards doesn't make you any better than anybody, but it's the standards to be Christ-like. Ephesians 1:4 says, accordingly, as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Let's try to strive to be as much as holy we can be. That doesn't mind walking around shaving their heads off as they do, walking around home and all that funny Hollywood stuff that we get out there. But it's that walk is important. Like all music is not perfect to us, but yet they strive. No offense to Melanie, she does really a good job. Our next thing is when we look in verse 13, it says, "Don't look back." Don't look back. It says, "Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to obtain, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead." As we take a look at that, kind of, what is Paul taking? I haven't got yet a hold of it yet. Well, yeah, he did. He accepted Christ. He's got salvation. He's got it, right? And that's what I was thinking. He's got it all. But a hold of that moral standards. It takes time. That's why we say progressive sanctification. That's why we work towards Christ. Looking at the phrase, I looked it up from things I've learned is I got this Greek word, and I'm going to mispronounce it even though I keep on hearing it in my head. Looking at that phrase, yet to have taken hold of it, it comes from the Greek word katalabano. I think it's katatambano. What it means seize, take hold of. I'm seizing this. I'm a new creation in Christ, and I'm going to seize this. It's like when you decide, I got this new job, and this is what I'm going to do. I decided to be this way, and this is how I'm going to be. You're seizing that opportunity. Seize the pathway to Christ. So a lot of times we tend to go with, certain interests and all that. Like all of a sudden we pick up this new hobby and we're going to seize it. I want to do this now. And this is I am. Your mind thinks all these neat things and this is what your life is all going to revolve around with. But sometimes there's failure. Somebody might look at us, he ain't no good at this. This person's better. Doesn't make you feel good, and you start pulling yourself away from it, and you quit, and then you decide to do something else. We are not seizing what lies ahead that God has given us, eternal life, and that's what you need to think about. A lot of times we call this backsliding, or when all kinds of, when we start looking back at our failures, I think of some of mine, I try to take piano lessons. I couldn't do it very well. Yeah, I tried it. You know, I tried voice lessons. It didn't do very well. But does that mean I should stop singing or praising God? Does that mean I should stop listening to music? No. You know, I just go on. But what if I just, you know, I had this perfect illustration earlier today, and I should have wrote it down. But have you ever took that time to where you were going for something, and all of a sudden you just dwell on it, and it stops you from doing anything? And next thing you know, Satan gets in there and starts twiddling at it a little bit more. You know, the next thing you know, you're in depression. You got all these anxieties. Next thing you know, you're starting to depend upon drugs and alcohol for your self-esteem. A lot of times we do self-harm because we start hating ourselves because we're so worried about the man's opinion on us, how well we perform. I know I have a very bad speech impediment, and it took me a while to how to pronunciate words properly. Should I have made that say, oh, no, Tim, I can't do this. I always have issues with this and that. You know, he encouraged me along to do things that I'm doing now. And then other people, you know, that have no friends who are speech pathologists, and then taught me how to pronunciate and how to use your words. And the same thing, like, you know, you concentrate, you do it, you move forward, you press forward, and don't let the world define who you are. Remember who we are. We're a child of God. And who did he say? We're perfect in him. In Luke 9:62, it said, and Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. What do? A lot of times we're going like, we just get tired. And in that story, it was about the guy said, yeah, I'll go with you, Lord, first, but let me take care of all these other things. You know, it's like another example would be, you know, let me take care of all my sins first before I get holy with God. Well, are you God? You know, what are you doing? You need to work forward. You need to go forward to Christ. You need to say, keep that plow going, pressing onward. I mean, here's two people in the Bible. Look at Peter. Peter, God called him this rock, but if Peter would have looked at his failures, he would have made it where he was at. Peter was got the opportunity to walk on water until what? Until he seen the waves, till he started worrying about everything else, and where was his focus off of? Focus was on everything else and not Christ, and he sank. All of a sudden, Peter knew when he denied three times Christ, because he was worried about what the world would do to him. And a lot of times, today is a day we need not to worry about that. How's the world going to treat you? What are they going to say to you? Because I say I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus called him the rock. Why? Because he was solid. He was found. No matter what his situations, he was firm and steady. Let's look at Paul. Paul persecuted Christians, didn't he? And that's what he was known for. Among the people, all of a sudden, Jesus changed them. God changed them. And the next thing, you know, he's preaching and teaching. Well, some of those people were like, oh, wait a second here. That's a lot of times with us when people know our past sins. You know, if we used to do, you know, bad things, or if we were liars or stealers, cheaters, adulterers, or if we even, drank or did, you know, bad things, all of a sudden they would change. They don't want to believe that you've changed. And then a lot of times that will make us shun up and we go, okay, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to stay my own way. I'm going to stay right here. So, you know, we did ask God to forgive us of our sins, correct? And that's what we need to keep on remembering. I am a child of God, and remind ourselves that God has forgiven me of my sins, and I need to press forward. My friend, correct your wrongs you have done and move forward. Press forward to the high calling of our Jesus Christ who dwells in you. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, run in a race run all, but one receive the prize. So run that you may obtain that prize. Of course, we know Jesus obtained a prize, but we keep running. I mean, I've been in some like marathons, bicycling, and stuff like that. But once someone crosses the finish line, does that mean I just get off my bike? Okay, it's over with. Well, Jesus did it all. I don't have to worry about it no more. No, I obtained and I finished the race to the end. I may not have made the right time. I may not have done the right time. It's just like, you know, listening to, you know, people who play the guitar or play music or sing. They may not be the perfect, but they're up to that stage. You know, I may never be the next famous preacher, whatever. I don't mind. I just want to preach the gospel, and that's all I want to obtain. No matter what. So the prize is complete sanctification in Jesus Christ. So, to go with the topic here, let's seize how to seize the joy of knowing our Heavenly Fathers in the next three verses. How do we seize this? Seizing, remember back that big word I tried to do? It says, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. Jesus, let those of us who are mature think this way. And if any of you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what you have obtained. Verse 15 says, What is the goal here? Our goal is to press forward. Our goal is to finish that line. And, you know, that I just thought of that verse, you know, good and well done, faithful servant. That's all that matters. Jesus isn't going to say, well, you did about 80%. You did about 40%. You know, you're about 60%. Hey, you did about 35%. No, thanks. You did well. You proclaimed my name before others. And that's all we have to do. We don't have to be this high status multi-million dollar evangelist or just, you know, win millions. You just win one to Christ. It's better than none. You know, go forward. And this Greek word is found. What do you win? So the Greek word in here that I found, skupos, S-K-O-P-S. It says a watchman, a mark. This word, this is the only time this word is found in the Bible, nowhere else. And it's, I didn't write down the word. Anyways, you guys can look that up, okay? How's that, huh? I just realized that. All right. Your overall goal in life is to keep watch on the prize and don't lose sight of it. You know, it's so easy. The world wants you to guide you from here, busyness, this, lose you to sight. That's why it's good to come to church. That's why it's good to come to other people around or have things throughout the week that puts your sight back on Christ. You know, so we are called a child of God. We should act like a child of God. Let me ask you, is man's opinion of you more important than God's opinion of you? There's a book that I think last year or so I read. When man is big and God is small. And then what we do is we look at this. This book taught me that I need a man's opinion was more important than God's opinion of me. And sometimes we need to up that a little bit more. We all race to measure our success in life by the type of school, work, social status. These things are more important to us than the relationship with Christ. And what we do is our rate, we want to measure, well, I am this good of a person in my job, or I am the best father, I'm the best this, and we start measuring all these things. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. Finally, brothers, we ask and encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ to live in a way that is pleasing to God, just as you have received from us. This is how you have already attained life. You should do so all the more. This another word is called abound. I keep on saying abound. Abound in Christ. Abound. There we go. It's flourishing with joy. Our focus on what is not focused on what others think of us. So if I took a plate, look at your plate. Is your plate full of things, of earthly things, or is full of heavenly things? Forget your sorrows and nesting in the past. Raised to be a joyful in Christ. You can take your sorrows and have Christ turn them to joy. And that's the whole thing. Jesus, take the things, focus on Christ. Go forward, ask him, what can you do? Then you can learn and pass on this joyful thing. There's this guy I heard on Vernon McGee, was talking about this guy. He used to always go up all the time and give his testimony. And he would say, oh, the dark, weary heart that I have. You know, and he was always reminding of his past, and that's all he lived in was his past and this dark soul, this dark mind. You know, and so one day, every year, he would say this same testimony. It looked like he didn't go. Let's say he was only at number 5, not that we measured nothing. But he every year he did the same testimony over and over again. Then eventually he was working with some people, and that's all they remembered him for. He never grew out of that. And then all of a sudden, that's what I'm saying. Sometimes we need to grow out of our things and mature on to Christ. And so Philippians 4:9, we're getting real close, says, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. So we have a bunch of spiritual men in the Bible, a bunch of other people we can follow and say, hey, how do you stay steady? You know, if you have a good spiritual lady or men, how do you stay steady in the word? How do you do that? And that's how we should encourage one another. Let us not forget the past. Let's forget the past as God has forgotten our path. Remember, he has forgotten everything. He throws things as far as the east of the west. But yet, why do we want to hold on to those things and keep on bringing ourselves down all the time? Why do we keep on doing that? So the prize is going to heaven. That's our prize. That gift is knowing that no matter what I struggle here on earth, my prize is in heaven. Being able to see Christ. I strive that goal. I press forward. I kept going. Philippians 3:16, nevertheless, we must not give up. Nevertheless, we must live up to what we have already obtained. We must live up to being a child of God. And that's what I need to have you all do. There we go. There's just times in that we need to be able to go out and just press forward and just, I want to encourage you with this time of joy and Tim. And then we come into a time or a service where we're going to have prayer. And it's a time where, Tim, can you pass out the communion? And then,